Said goodbye to the old year, hello to the new. Something told me nothing's gonna change. Singing hallelujah, but the war has just begun.
Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, telling it like it is. Kat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. We're on the gram, baby. We're also on TikTok if you found either of us goofballs on there. I'm going to shout out two listeners that are listening to us. Apparently, they're in the Caribbean. Our first is from St. Michael's, Barbados. St. Michael's is the capital city of Bridgetown. It also with Bridgetown, it has a garrison that is UNESCO World Heritage Site. And also has the third oldest parliament in the Western Hemisphere and the historic Jewish synagogue coexisting in modern shopping center. Interesting place. Our other place is Chaguanas, Trinidad and Tobago. Chaguanas is renowned for its vibrant culture, bustling markets, and it's like cool. Like they'll have like a Diwali area to celebrate Indian festival lights. It's just a cool place to hang out. It's rich history and cool tourist attraction. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is the only definite here on the back porch. You know, alcohol doesn't cause hangovers. Waking up does. Today I'm having my Glenlivet, my 12-year-old scotch in my Waterford crystal glass Kitty Cat gave me years ago. Cat, what you got?
I just have me a little rosé all day here in the warm summertime. Hampton water going down.
Yeah, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, dog.
All right, today we're going to look at the crazy shoe game. So many options out there these days. And the reason we bring this topic up is I've noticed as Kat and I have gotten older, the shoe wear is now an important part of our day. Okay, what are we doing today, and what shoe fits that activity? I know that sounds a little entitled. Not everyone has the resources to buy multiple pairs of shoes for different occasions, but there's always a but. If you do have the resources, you're going to do what Kat and I are doing, which is exploring the many options out there in the world of shoe wear. When you get older, like us on the back porch, your feet hurt, okay? It's going to happen. Your feet start to hurt. Say you have a job where you stand for hours. You go out to walk the dog. You go for a jog. You know what I'm talking about. You know, your feet that have taken you many miles through your life, they do start to shed a tear. And when your feet hurt, basically your whole body hurts. Your whole mood changes. Now, since Kat broke her ankle, she knows that support and comfort are the key to choosing the right shoe.
Yes, I totally agree. And I have lots of shoes. I mean, one specifically just to hike with the dog. The physical therapist made me buy another pair of hiking boots that actually goes around your ankle. And I like wearing them sometimes, but sometimes I just like the easy, non-booty-looking bunch. I have a lot of shoes. I've got one pair.
Too many.
Of Brooks Ghosts that only are on the elliptical. never see the outside. They never touch. I have a ghost shoe by Brooks that only goes on pavement. I have one pair of running shoes that only does trail. That's probably the pair I use the most. I have one pair of shoes that are only for workout.
Now that's a bit much.
It's not a bit much because I have all those activities go through my day and I'm constantly switching shoes around.
As I just mentioned, right?
Right. Well, yeah, but I actually use them.
I got you. Now, not every type of shoe is the right fit for everyone. I've wasted a few dollars lately on buying the wrong hiking shoe, the wrong hunting boots. And the problem is these days, the stores that sell footwear, they don't have what you want in that store. They got it on their website.
Yeah.
But when you go to the store, you know, and want to try the shoe on, that was always an important part of the gig, was putting them on, trying them on. They're not there. You know, buying clothing online, shirts, pants, you usually end up okay. But buying shoe wear online, it's a gamble.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need to try them on before you buy them. Now, here's my secret weapon that's not a secret anymore. Inserts, insoles, they are the key to comfort when you buy a pair of shoes. You know, the inserts that are in these shoes you buy now are these little thin pieces of nothing. Okay, just rip them out and go get a thicker insert. It makes a world of difference.
I totally agree. I mean, the last time I was at the running store Fleetfoot, I was buying a new pair of pavement shoes because I know the ones, old ones I have, I've had them quite a while. Even though I don't run pavement that much, I usually run a trail. I knew I needed to get something because you're trying to get back into running. And the young lady and I went through several different pairs just trying to find the right ones for me. And she sat there and watched me walk around. Well, you're kicking your heel out on that one, so that's a no, and this, that, and the other. So sometimes it's also good to get a professional person to, you're buying a certain pair of shoes that actually knows what they're doing.
Right.
To try and help you, and go to your local running store is a good place to start.
So many brands today. There are 1,673 some odd shoe companies worldwide today. Okay.
Right.
Lots of choices, lots of thieves out there. Around here, Keen, Oboz, Hoka.
Hoka.
Very popular. Why?
You have been converted to the Hoka, have you not?
Why are these Keens and Hokas popular? They're sturdy, rugged, and comfortable. Now, Hoka has become very popular in the medical field.
Right.
Why? It's the big, cushy sole. Nurses on their feet all day or on the night shift love the Hokas. It seems right now the huge bottom part of the shoe has become the focal point these days. Runners have gravitated to the big cushy sole shoe. Kat knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because like I said, when I went to go see the sales girl and we were going through shoes, I did try a pair of these really cushy Hokas, and it was just like too much cush for me. So I ended up buying the Brooks version of it, which is like the Ghost Max.
You know, the Hokas
maximum cushioning.
The Hokas I bought, I'm not going to wear them out in public. They're not very manly. And they do take a minute to get used to. It feels like you're walking on a, I don't know, a styrofoam cooler top or something.
Well, part of this journey we've been on with this freaking broken ankle, I couldn't really wear regular shoes. All my shoes for the past, 6 months or so have had to either be recovery shoes, which I bought the really expensive recovery shoes. One pair was a pair of tennis shoes. The other one was a pair of like boots They were perfect for me. Ankle support that got me through this because I couldn't really wear regular shoes yet. I'm still having a problem with regular shoes.
In the sporting world, footwear, it's cuckoo, of course. All the stars in their respective sports today wear their own shoes on the basketball court, baseball field, football field. These dudes are wearing, what, pink, purple, anything goes.
Right.
On the football field, baseball field, the hard court. You know, back in the day, athletes wore what we called uniforms, where everyone wore the same gear. Now it's anything goes. How about the prices of shoes these days? It's basically 150 to 180. It's kind of the norm, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, there's some 200s, but there's it not necessarily means you're going to be really using that for the 200. I mean, there's some people.
Not everybody's got that kind of scratch. That
money.
You know, so.
But see, all those people now that were the shoe heads that have collections and this, that, and the other. And
yeah, paying $2,000 for shit. Yeah.
Like.
Just to put it up on the shelf.
Junior, do you actually wear those shoes? No, I don't. No.
The 99-cent question is, what's going to be next, right? What's going to be the latest and greatest? Which shoe line is going to come out with something that everybody has to have? A higher arch, a wider toe, sturdier heel, more comfortable sole. What's it going to be? We have over 1.5 million shoe companies in the lab right now trying to figure that out. Well, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. Oh, yes. Golf season is in swing, and we have Scottie Scheffler, 28 years old, from Ridgewood, New Jersey. Scottie Scheffler, number one golfer in the world. Okay, no question. Just won the PGA Championship. Scottie's won the Masters twice.
And I think why you don't hear that much, he's such a modest sort of guy.
Laid back, doesn't give a damn. He's got, I don't know, 16, 17 wins on tour so far. Many more to come. You know, if you're not into golf, you're not into it, you could care less. But me and Kat watch it. You know, it's on Sunday afternoon. And what we're witnessing right now with Scottie Scheffler, it's kind of Tiger-esque.
Right.
Right? It's no one has dominated professional golf since Tig peaced out. And not only does Scottie Scheffler win, but he destroys the field.
I mean, do you feel like he gets enough press for what he is accomplishing here?
You know, he doesn't care. Like you just said, he's laid back.
Right.
I don't think he wants it. You know, he's got a wife and a kid, and I'm just going to win, take all the money and go home, leave me alone, which is pretty cool. That's why he's got such a big fan base, I think. You know, he doesn't get very emotional. He's not cocky. Remember Tig, you know, tried to intimidate and do all that. This dude's just playing golf, okay? This dude started playing Scottie Scheffler in the 7 and 9 year old bracket back in the day. 7 to 9 year olds. He won 40 of 42 events. As a little kid, all he wanted to do was win, and he's winning right now. And that makes Scottie Scheffler one tough son of a bitch. Did we watch stuff?
We watched something. This was another harken back to our childhood or our teenagehood back in the 70s. It was a documentary on Hulu called The Disappearance of Cher Hyatt. And if any of you guys can think back way, way, way back in the back pages of your memories, there was a thing called the Hyatt Report. It was a big hoo-ha. This, I'll call her a sexologist, went and did a survey of 3,000 women and asked them very plainly, about sex. It was back in the 70s. It was back when
I'm listening.
You had like Donahue and little
all the crappy
talk show stuff, and she was like a guest that they would love to have on because she would talk and she'd be very free. And based on the survey of 3,000, the report revealed that 70% of women did not orgasm through penetrative sex, finding that that challenged prevailing beliefs at the time. Instead, they were finding other ways, masturbation, other ways to orgasm. And Cheryl Hyatt, she did another one on male sexuality. And she got a lot of backlash from men. You know, and then she did one, the next survey she did it. She wrote these books, and it was really interesting documentary because her life before that was really awful. She's like trying to get her graduate degree from Columbia. She's trying to, you know, stay in the very expensive island of Manhattan. And she's doing these jobs where she's like a model for illustrators for like, you know, really bad paperback books where she's like this and that. And then she's doing this other photography posing with like, on the edge of like soft porn.
Right.
And, you know, those awful magazines back in the day, Hustler and this, that, and the other. But she's doing that just so she can keep...
Not into it, just to keep, check. And
right, keep working. Studying, you know. Instead, she was a feminist who didn't believe any of this stuff, but she's right. having to do it just to keep... You know,
right.
Once she writes this book, life gets a whole lot better for her. And, she, you know, but she got a lot of backlash from, like, you are a man-hater and this, that, and the other.
Good.
Because... She would go on this talk shows with like idiots from like actors from TV, like Gil Gerard.
I watched you watching it, and she's sitting there just playing the game.
Right.
And this guy who thinks he's intellectually over her asking her questions, and she's just playing him like a fool.
She was way smarter than the dudes that she was sitting beside, and they were questioning her about, well, what? How is your methodology? And this, these guys had no freaking clue. Okay, and there was one point in one of the she got in another little dust up there on TV, and then she just kind of went away. She married this German musician. They went to Europe, and they just kind of faded
in. Lived her life.
But it was very interesting going back and seeing sort of the stuff that back in the 70s that really freaked people out.
Right. It was all, like you said, dirty mags, dirty shit on television.
Right.
All that. And she's sitting here going, you know what, dudes? We're not into you that much.
Right. Because she did two other reports. One was on women's vision of love, and the other one was men's. And on the men's one, they had to admit that a lot of them were cheating on their wives. And that was where the kind of the dudes that were at the talk shows were not accepting of that. Oh, well, I don't have any friends that cheat on their wives. This, that, the other. Like, well, maybe the other guy next to you does.
All right. What was it called?
It was an interesting documentary. It the was. Disappearance of Cheryl Hyatt.
Woo. On?
They're on Hulu.
Hulu. Let's do a shot, babe. What we got?
We have got a purple gecko shot.
Gecko? A lizard?
Like a lizard. And isn't there a pretty purple color there?
I don't know about that.
It's 1.5 ounces of tequila, 1 ounce of blue curacao, 1.5 ounces of cranberry juice, sweet and sour, and a little lime juice.
That's a lot. You have to mask the smell and taste of tequila. I like margaritas, and that's about it. All right, let's do it.
That's a little rough.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not too you can bad. Do that.
Not too bad. The Geico what? I thought the Geico.
The purple gecko shot.
Purple gecko. All right. Thanks, babe. All right. Today we were bumpered in by Sierra Hall. 33 years young from, I don't know how you say that, Bidestown, Tennessee. Sierra Hall, singer, songwriter, excellent mandolin player. Sierra Hall is so good on the mandolin. She has been mentioned right up there with Bill Monroe, Ricky Skaggs, Tony Rice, Chris Thiele, David Grissom, you know, and Sam Bush. If you're on that list, you're a badass mandolin player. Ciara studied at the Berklee College of Music. Man, that place has produced so many awesome artists. Started playing the mandolin at age 8. She's won 10 International Bluegrass Music Association Awards and won Best Mandolin Player 6 times.
Mentored by Alison Krauss.
Get out of here. She's worked on projects with Alison and Sturgill Simpson, two of my favorite artists.
She has performed at, get this, the Grand Ole Opry, Carnegie Hall, the Kennedy Center, and the White House.
She's awesome. Just
She has one gig coming up here June 29th, the Big Ponderoo there at Sisters, Oregon.
Fashionista, too. She likes to dress it up.
Likes Ooh, girl likes Ciara, to look pretty.
She just released her album, A Tiptoe High Wire. The song we were bumpered in with today is called Truth Be Told, off her new album. Go to iTunes, hit it up. Check out Ciara Hall wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
See ya.